All right, check this out. It is not comforting to see our own president go on camera and undermine his negotiation only 24 hours before he's set to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska. Now, the condition that Putin set was Zelensky can't be at this meeting. Actually, no Ukrainian officials can be there to represent themselves. And Donald Trump tripped over himself to take this meeting. I want to show you this clip where he's asked, do you think the incentives that you're creating could be inversed? Meaning, when you're giving Putin land and you're also giving him minerals, either from Ukraine or reportedly Alaska, you are rewarding his territorial imperial aggression. In fact, Putin is not a good faith actor whatsoever, and that's where Donald Trump goes wrong. That's like his faulty building block that the rest of the foundation is built on. Vladimir Putin will break deal after deal after deal. He will look you in your eye, lie to you, and then bomb Ukraine 1 hour later. He's done that to Trump like 8 times over the phone. So when Donald Trump gets asked, do you think that this incentive structure could actually, you know, go against you? Trump has no answer. He has no plan. He has no clue what he's doing here. And it is not comforting. I'm going to walk you through this presser that he just had in the Oval Office. But honestly, I don't even care about all of the other bait that he throws out. He talks about like Obama and Hillary Clinton and other things, but I don't care about the distractions. I care about the cost of living, the victims of Epstein. I care about Ukraine's sovereignty. I care about the Middle East, like Gaza. I care about a lot of things. None of them involve Obama. You know, let's watch this clip.
Mr. President, thank you. Do you think this summit and the incentives for peace you are putting on the table could end up rewarding Putin for his invasion of Ukraine? And what kind of signal do you think that could potentially send to other aggressors?
No, I don't think it's a reward. I think that what we have is a situation that should never have started, It didn't start under me, and for 4 years it wasn't even discussed. And I could see it was going to happen after I left. I could see what was happening.
Dude, it was happening while you were in office the first and second time. Putin invaded Crimea in 2014. Obama should have been a lot stronger, but then Trump had 4 years and he did practically nothing. Now he complains that it never would have happened under him, but it is happening under him literally right now, and he can't do anything about it. Also, I'm going to try to put this into words, but it's going to be kind of hard. Trump is making like a quadruple concession when he agrees to this meeting with Putin. Here's why. Number one, he agreed to the meeting on the condition that Zelensky can't be there. So that's a concession. He also concedes that Putin can come to the United States, but then Putin will only start the ceasefire after they talk and after they talk about land swaps. So that's another concession that's made before the ceasefire even begins. Again, I'm going to try to word this, but the ceasefire should be the fundamental building block that happens first. You only take the meeting after the ceasefire happens because that's how you get the leverage. You say, listen, I'm going to take a meeting with you and I'll do this meeting and I'll go on camera with you and talk to you and I'll discuss this with you and we'll do this all, but you have to do a ceasefire first. But Trump doesn't understand what leverage looks like. By the way, make sure you're subscribed to the Adam Mockler feed. Make sure you drop a like below. And let's watch another clip about Trump just lying about Ukraine.
Mr. President, does Putin have a strong hand tomorrow?
Well, he came to our country, and I heard CNN fake news talking about that was a big win for him. Normally, you would say the opposite, but they said, oh, it's a big win that he came here. Normally, it would say the opposite.
He's so dumb. In the interview that I do in just one moment, you'll learn why this is not a win for the United States. It's a loss. But the president is just an absolute imbecile. Here is a reporter finally asking, are you prepared to offer Vladimir Putin access to rare minerals to incentivize him to end the war? I guess some of the minerals could be from Ukraine, but Trump only owns a small portion that was negotiated in a deal. He doesn't have the ownership of other Ukrainian minerals. The only other place would be Alaska.
Mr. President, one on your Putin meeting and then one on D.C. crime. Are you prepared to offer Vladimir Putin access to rare minerals to incentivize him to end the war?
We're going to see what happens with our meeting. We have a big meeting, and it's going to be, I think, very important for Russia, and it's going to be very important for...
You know what? I'm going to bring on a Biden admin official to shred Trump to pieces. Check this out. I would like to welcome to the show Dan Coe, a friend who was also the deputy assistant to President Biden and the deputy director of the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. How are you doing today?
Adam, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on, sir. So I want to talk a little bit about this meeting that's happening in roughly 24 hours. Donald Trump is welcoming Vladimir Putin into the United States. They're meeting in Alaska, of all places. Do you think Trump has an overarching strategy, or is he broadly winging it here?
There's a couple things that are concerning to me about this. One, this is a time and place of Putin's choosing, not President Trump's, right? Putin was one who had expressed openness to the meeting. He had not resisted Alaska as a venue. In fact, he kind of likes the idea of being in Alaska because of the history with Russia. This is a president who has worshipped people who are powerful. It doesn't matter if it's Putin, Kim Jong-un, billionaires like Elon Musk, right? And so I think the way people should be thinking about this is, what evidence do we have that Trump can outfox Putin at any point? You know, in the past, he sided with Putin instead of U.S. intelligence. He has complimented Putin. He's even sent him COVID tests when Americans were dying. And so that's where I think people should be concerned. I should also note Elmendorf Air Force Base, which is the venue. I've actually been there. There are 10,000 people living on that base, thousands of American families. So this is not an attempt by Donald Trump to think maybe I should go to Anchorage and, you know, show some patriotism and pump up the people who are doing amazing public service there. No, this is an attempt to try to placate Vladimir Putin. And it seems like Vladimir Putin's holding all the cards.
How do you think the families feel about having a war criminal on their base?
I don't know. I mean, the thing about these people in the service is that they're such honorable and human beings that I'm not sure even if they felt that way, they would speak outwardly about it. Yeah. But you got to think that, you know, I don't know what President Trump is planning, to be fair. Maybe he is going to spend a lot of time with those families, but my guess is the majority of the time he's going to be spending trying to placate Vladimir Putin. And that shouldn't concern all Americans.
The problem is he doesn't even seem to understand who Vladimir Putin is. He doesn't understand his enemy. He's trying to offer him like monetary incentives or minerals, which, I mean, in other deals, maybe. But when it comes to Vladimir Putin, he's not a good faith actor. He doesn't care about money. He's rich as hell. He cares about expanding the Soviet empire. So he's playing Donald Trump as a fool. And Trump seems to have deluded himself into thinking that he's actually friends with Putin.
I mean, Putin has dealt with a lot more sophisticated leaders than Donald Trump, right? That's exactly right. And remember, Putin's a former KGB agent, right? He is trained on manipulation. This is a person that we need to take very, very seriously. And again, Donald Trump has shown that people of power, dictators, not only does he seem to admire, but he wants to replicate. I mean, this is a guy who said, I want them to praise me in reference to Kim Jong-un and the way the crowds that Kim Jong-un would get. That's not American. That's not what our republic stands for. We stand against autocracy, authoritarianism. So it's just a reinforcement of the kind of vulnerabilities that this president has that's going to be on display in the next couple of days and well beyond.
And President Biden had a more successful strategy. It seemed like he learned from previous wars. Winston Churchill froze Hitler out. He didn't talk to him, didn't even negotiate with him, would not interact with him. It seems like that's what President Biden did after the invasion in 2022, didn't interact with him, froze him out of the global order. And Trump is now legitimizing him once again, which seems to be a large problem.
It's very clear. And look, I know President Biden well. I was not on the national security side, but the way I saw it from my perch at the White House, this was a man who was not afraid of Vladimir Putin. And don't take my word for it. Just look at his actions. He expanded NATO, Sweden, and Finland while Putin was trying to continue his march in Ukraine. He stood toe-to-toe and continued to stand toe-to-toe with Vladimir Zelensky, taking that train 10 hours overnight to stand with him, a sitting president in a war zone. This is a president who exposed Russian intelligence of a false flag operation to try to justify Ukraine, invading Ukraine to begin with. He's not afraid. He does not envy Vladimir Putin. He does not want to be Vladimir Putin. That's a very stunning contrast to what you're seeing now. Of course, there are people who love to criticize President Biden. I get it. But if you just look at the actions of these two leaders, you just see something completely different.
Yeah, President Biden understood how leverage worked. And for the Art of the Deal guy, the guy who apparently wrote this book, he doesn't understand it whatsoever. Like, you get leverage through peace, through strength. That is actually a solid thing, but do you ever find that Republicans inverse peace through strength? Because wouldn't strength be security guarantees, giving them weapons, making sure that we don't like play our hand and say we're 1 month away from giving up? That's something that Pete Hegseth kept saying. He was like, we're a few months away from giving up. Doesn't that signal to Vladimir Putin that you're not strong? That's not peace through strength.
And most importantly, Ukraine is our ally. And for us to not even have them at the table, we could come to an agreement. I mean, Trump and Putin probably won't, but if they came to some kind of land agreement, then what they're going to do? What I imagine Trump would do is try to intimidate Ukraine into accepting the deal because he wants a Nobel Peace Prize, yeah, not because it's in the best interest of Ukraine. And I want to say something too. This is a MAGA strategy. This is not necessarily even a Republican strategy. There are many Republican presidents who have many admirable foreign policy advisors who would project that America is first and we back our allies. This is a president, as I mentioned, perhaps the most blatant example is sending that COVID test while Americans were dying. He was favoring Russia over America. That is something that everybody, I don't care what your party is, whether you're MAGA, who you voted for, I don't know how you defend that.
Thank you for hopping on. I really appreciate this. And I think we're going to be doing this more.
I would love it. Adam, listen, you are an incredible leader in this time where people need it most. We need great content creators like you. Your generation is so important to the future. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's mutual. I'm a fan of you as well. So yeah, we'll do this again.
Thank you, brother.